Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. On today's programme, we're talking music. Later on, we'll be reviewing a couple of new albums with music critic Laura Snapes. But first, let's welcome her into the studio. Laura, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad. I may be feeling marginally fresher than you. You're fresh from the festival field. You, alongside a number of Monocle staff, in fact, have spent the weekend in a Welsh Valley for Green Man Festival. How are you feeling?
I managed to go home, have a shower and then come out again. So I feel like marginally better, but I would say not 100% astute.
Not 100%, you're getting there. A little hoarse maybe. Maybe that's because you're having so much fun. We shall see. Let's talk about it. Highlights, can you reel off a few, or were there just too many to mention?
I mean, there were tons. Practically everything I saw was brilliant. There was only one thing, and I will spare them. But
we might have to come on to that.
From Charlotte Church's Pop Dungeon, which is just incredible. Charlotte Church coming on wearing like full-on sequins, swigging Prosecco, singing Nine Inch Nails Closer, and then a variety of other songs, which was fantastic. And I loved Michael Rother from Noi. He was brilliant. And last night, we finished the night watching the snooker player Steve Davis play kind of synth prog, which was brilliant. Saturday, we woke up and went to see Oliver Coates, who's this really amazing avant-garde cellist who's signed to the classical imprint of Moshi Moshi Records. And he's just amazing. It's like a bit Arthur Russell, a bit kind of minimal techno. Mm. Just him and a cello up there. God, I can't even think about it. Battles were extremely good. I didn't love their new album, but live, it made a lot more sense. And like it was kind of going off in there. What I remember of Factory Floor was very good. Friday night gets a bit hazy.
Yeah, that's understandable. It is funny, isn't it, when you get you've mentioned there's some really eclectic stuff. There's some stuff that comes alive in that particular setting, you know, late at night when a crowd's really into it. And I guess Green Man is pretty good, isn't it? You kind of know that's what you're going to get when you go there.
Yeah, it's got a brilliantly varied lineup. You know, it's seeing like old krautrock men next to people like Charlotte Church covering weird pop songs, and like I should mention Phil Cook. I caught a few songs of his set, which I really wanted to see, but it clashed with something else I had to do. Doing this amazing kind of sunny Americana, and then Kate LeBourne doing all of her like weird kind of punky music. So yeah, it's super varied. And the thing that I think Green Man has the best, apart from Glastonbury, the best late night life of any other festival. Mm. I really love End of the Road, but it kind of stops a bit once it gets to about 1 a.m. or it gets a bit silent disco-y. But Green Man kind of goes and goes and goes till about 4.
And what about the kind of the broader mood? Because it is interesting that a lot of the bigger festivals, or, you know, as they were getting bigger, they tend to then come under the auspices of, you know, these big festival organisers, or, you know, people say, it's gone corporate, man, it's all sold out. How does Green Man fare? Can you really notice that? I don't know, you probably see your fill. Do you really feel that difference in almost the sort of corporate culture of an event like that?
I think Green Man is kind of one of the earthiest festivals out there. Mm. It's like, I don't know, it feels to me like very knitted jumpers, very community. Especially this year was the first time I've ever been like semi-involved with stuff. So I did some Q&As in the book tent and I did some radio. And the community of people who run it seem like genuine friends and great people. And, you know, just really simple things like going in the beer tent. They kind of had like a beer festival going on at the festival. So it was all amazing local stuff. And not to be terribly stereotypical, but I think it being set in that part of Wales, people are just so friendly.
Yeah.
And it's very, I think once you kind of get towards the West Country, things get a lot more chilled out.
I've noticed this myself in the past.
Being from Cornwall also, like, it feels very familiar there. I think it's a really friendly festival.
Nice. And not too much time, surely, in the ale tent. That would maybe explain why you don't feel so fresh.
I was on the cider. There was a variety of those as well.
Okay, that's good West Country fare. And move seamlessly on, in fact, to one of last Friday's album releases by a band playing this weekend, of course, at the festival. Exploded View is the name of the band. We'll hear from them in a second. Tell us a bit about them, first of all.
Well, the singer and I think songwriter in Exploded View is a lady called Annika, who is or was signed to Jeff Barrow's Invader Records. And she put out a couple of EPs. I think she only ever one original song. The rest of it was all kind of really, really interesting covers, like very dystopian, kind of dubby, like very Bristol. I think she's based kind of between Berlin and Bristol. And Exploded View is this new band that she formed after she was playing a festival in South America a few years ago. And she kind of came together with this group of musicians. One of them, I think, is the guy from Crocodiles. And then there's some South American musicians who I hadn't heard of before. And I think they just kind of improvised like all of the music. And then she went away and wrote words to it. And yeah, this record, I think, is much better than you would expect of something so kind of like, you know, off the cuff.
Mm. It's really, well, let's talk. We'll talk a bit more about it in a minute. Let's hear a little of it first. This is Exploded View, and this track is called Orlando. That's Exploded View with Orlando. And Laura, I gather that's one of the sort of more, I don't know, slightly kind of poppier, more, you know, upbeat, I don't know what you'd call it, middle of the road tracks than some of the other stuff on the rest of the piece, which is can be quite sort of dark and challenging. Does it all kind of hang together?
I think it does hang together really, really well. Actually, it was funny at Green Man, I was a bit late starting the day and I could hear all the really agitated kind of parts of it from my tent. I was like, oh, I've got to get up there and see it. And by the time I got up there, they had slightly moved on to the slower stuff and it's like, I really needed to be awakened by the noisier bits. But yeah, I think it flows really well, you know, I guess kind of in keeping with that dub kind of aesthetic. You can listen to it start to finish and the mood, there are peaks and troughs, but it doesn't veer kind of from that mood.
And there's an interesting kind of fidelity. I gather the studio was kind of, it was recording everything, every noise in the rooms. So they weren't looking for kind of very, I don't know, I guess the devil's in all of that, the detail, the little usually unheard things. It kind of brings an extra layer, which is kind of it's quite an interesting approach, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think some of the lyrics are a bit inscrutable, but there's one called No More Parties in the Attic, which I think is, from what I could tell, kind of about the way that industrial kind of spaces that might once have been used for raves and something like that, like warehouses, are being kind of co-opted as like creative spaces by, you know, tech companies and so on. And it's like about how this organic, messy kind of party scene is being shut down. And so I think they've probably kind of tried to preserve that in the way they've recorded it too.
I like it. There's a bit of a social message in there as well, just for good measure. So that's obviously one to look out for. Exploded View's eponymous new record is out now on Sacred Bones. Let's move on, shall we, Laura, and talk about the music of California. Scott Hirsch, this is the debut solo album from the sound designer, editor and collaborator who's worked for a long time in the music industry. Speaking of long time, give us the potted history. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Designer, editor, maybe best known as a collaborator. Mm-hmm. These are always interesting careers that get woven through the fabric of the music scene, aren't they?
Yeah, totally. So he started out in a hardcore kind of noise band called Ex Ignota with a guy called Mike Taylor. And then they went on to form a band called... a band whose name I've forgotten. And then there was another band after that called His Golden Messenger, where Scott kind of, I think, at first was kind of more in charge of the music and Mike was writing the lyrics. But then over time, it's become much more Mike's project. And so Scott is still in the live band, but he's broken off and he's made this album. He's very, very influenced by J.J. Cale. There's like a few quotes of his lyrics kind of run throughout the record. And Little Feet as well. He talks about the weeds, whites and wine at some point in there. And it's, you know, you're talking about his work as a sound designer. I think he does a lot of stuff for film. You can really tell by the way he writes lyrics. You know, they're very cinematic, you know, which is such a cliche, but like it's this really gorgeous kind of humid like guitar album. And, you know, from the colours that he speaks about in the lyrics and the way that it sounds, you get a real picture of somebody almost going on this like midnight voyage through the desert, almost like that bit kind of towards the end of Thelma and Louise where they're driving through all the canyons.
Well, that's a pretty cinematic description to continue that. I like to label people, genre specific. What are we talking about here? It's kind of country. There's a sort of synthy,
Americanery,
funk, Americana. Yeah. Happily navigating betwixt and between.
Yeah, so it's called Blue Rider Songs, and the blue so it references a lot this idea of blue highways, which is a concept made up by this American travel writer, I think, in this memoir he wrote in the 80s. And it's the blue highways on American maps. The main roads were red and the blue ones were like the little back roads. And so, you know, it's kind of about taking the path kind of less travelled, I suppose. And I think that's what he's doing with the music as well. He's tying together all of these things. It is an Americana album, but I think it's really got kind of a dub spirit behind it as well.
I think we should listen to some of it. Let's hear from Scott Hirsch. This is the track Darkness.
Darkness, stay away from me. Been coming around, won't you let me be? He said, let me follow you. got a light so bright, we're gonna shine on through.
That's Scott Hirsch with Darkness. I've heard the work described as reminiscent of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I don't know of this album in particular, but his general kind of sound. And that has a kind of that, I don't know, it has a note of that. There's a kind of mellowness to it, a bit of melancholy maybe in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very much a connection. It's a very kind of warm album. I think lyrically it's kind of about a bit of a dark night of the soul, kind of this guy that's been exiled and, you know, he's out on the road, kind of not expecting easy returns to be brought to him, but realising he really is going to have to work to kind of get through this crisis. But in spite of that, it does have a kind of a very upbeat, kind of relaxed, comforting tone. We listened to it several times in the car on the way back from Green Man today.
Good stuff. Good soundtrack for that. And it was interesting, we talked about that work as a sound designer, and you've already described it, and this sort of cinematic quality. Do you think sometimes that I don't know, do we try and find additional meaning, and do we try and find depths that maybe aren't there because we see, oh well, you know, this is where the sound design ends and the musicianship begins? Is it better to just put on the record, kick back and drink it in?
Well, yeah, that would definitely be my preferred way of experiencing it. I had to write a long review of this, so sometimes you have to try and play dot to dot very hard.
Lovely stuff. I don't know, we should probably pick a record of the week or something like that, maybe a track of the week. What's your favorite? Was there a standout moment on the Scott Hirsch piece, do you think?
I can't think of like one song that particularly stands out. It flows really, really beautifully as an album. The first song is really good. It's got like it reminds me a bit of this amazing album that came out last year by a guy called Phil Cook, who was also playing Green Man, which I realise is a bit of an obscure reference, but I guess if people liked what they heard of that Scott Hirsch album, I would very much recommend getting Phil Cook's Southland Mission.
Yeah, because did Phil Cook contribute to that album as well?
Yes,
in fact?
So he is on here. He's playing organ on here, so I think that might be a bit of the shared spirit. I think it's kind of, although Scott Hirsch lives in California again now, there's very much like a North Carolina vibe to this record. Mm. Like his Golden Messenger is a North Carolina band now.
Fantastic stuff. Well, that's lovely stuff, and it's from Blue Rider Songs by Scott Hirsch. It's out now on Scissortail Records. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. Laura Snopes, thank you very much for braving the post-festival blues and coming to share your wisdom with us.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Our producer was Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow when we'll be looking at New York's theatrical highlights, and we'll round up some of the best bits from Edinburgh too, just for good measure. But for now, it's goodbye from me. Thank you for listening.